It's very difficult for souls in your world to realize how very close this world is to spirit. All around and about you, unseen, unheard, unknown, are untold numbers of souls who come into the environment of your world with love and the desire to serve and to help suffering humanity. They're ever conscious of your many needs, whether those needs are of the body, the mind, or the spirit. And indeed, one might say that throughout your world, all God's creatures are in need, and not only the human aspect of life, but the suffering kingdoms of time by man considered less important. We come with love and compassion that we might in some measure your service. We endeavor at all times to be of help, to help those who are sad, lonely, those who are sick and suffering, those who by the very nature of things find life difficult and in some instances here and there intolerable. We are conscious of the needs of the young and the old, the sick and the suffering. And indeed, are we ever conscious of the needs of those who are more, as the world sees it, affluent, more, as it were, perhaps today, than people realize truly in need? For oft times, they are out of touch. There are many in your world who are successful, who seem to have everything that they need or could desire. In oft times are lonely and unhappy. Sometimes those who seem to be most fortunate are oft times most in need. Those in high places have risen oft times to great heights. They are on a pedestal quite often, is insecure and unsure, and they are full of fears. And indeed, quite oft times their needs are many, for they themselves, by the nature of their material progress and success, cut themselves adrift more than ever from the things of the mind and of the spirit. They either have not the time or the inclination, or it is that they are so oft times, by the very nature of their lives, materially successful than they are, cut off spiritually. We see into your world and into the hearts of men everywhere. Here and there we perceive the flickering of light, which we can sometimes bring forth into a brightness to such an extent that its very illumination not only lights the path for the individual but for many souls round and about them. There are these privileged few who have the power of the spirit keep within them, which God enabled by efforts and guidance and by faith and the cooperation of the power and the love of the Spirit, are able to bring it forth that it can be a great joy and a great benefit and comfort and aid. Oft times, as I look back on my own life, I realize more and more how little I knew, how indeed ignorant I was of the reality of the Spirit, though my whole life was bound up with the teachings of the Spirit as I thought, yet my ignorance was appalling. One may study books, one may spend one's whole lifetime searching for truth in many diverse ways, and yet be unfortunate enough to perceive little consequence. And yet there are those who are ignorant of the world's usage, who have no knowledge, who have no education, who lack experience in so many different ways, and yet oftentimes the Spirit stirs, and they are able to perceive in their simplicity the glories that are denied those whose whole life oftentimes has been spent in searching for truth in books, in documents, and in many other ways. The study of the human race from time immemorial is in itself perhaps an object present to us all, yet we heed not the lessons that we have learnt. We see not the present in the past, and yet but what is the present but the result of past events, past mistakes and foolishness? Man has turned his back for centuries upon truth and perceives not that there within himself, his innermost soul, is the paramount truth of all, the indestructible truth, that man is truly spirit, and in consequence, immortal. How oft times do I think back to my earlier years, and how with enthusiasm I did step out on the path of religious instruction and religious experience. How often I spoke from the pulpit to the many souls that have gathered around to listen to the word of God. How often did I strive to give out the truth as I perceived it, as I felt that I knew it. And as I look back, I see what was lacking was the simplicity and the reality of the knowledge of the power of the Spirit within. Words came easily to me. It was always possible for me to give forth the teachings of the Christ, lessons of what we learned from his teachings, from his life. And in that respect, I have no doubt that I served and I enabled many to follow my path which was good for them and beneficial. If only I had known the reality of communication between the so-called dead and the living, if only I could have perceived what was underlying the teachings, not only of the Christ, but of many of the prophets and the great reformers and teachers of earlier time. If I could have seen the golden thread that goes from the earliest times through all the great religious and also bodies of individuals and groups of men who gather together to form their own particular ideology. Only I could have perceived that that simple thread was the basis of all truth, that it was not peculiar just to one denomination or to one particular religious group, that all men are the Spirit, that all men are part of the great plan, that all life, no matter what form it takes, is indestructible, that even the lower creatures of the earth have their place and their purpose, not only in your world, but in ours also, that there is a place for all God's creatures, and that because when on earth we look down, as man so often does, in their superior way of the misfortunate, the dumb creatures who give so much to humanity, indeed, they do so much more than perhaps even their instinct appreciate or realize or understand. So they are placed there in the world of flesh, equally with man, for a good purpose. I think our big problem and our great difficulty on earth is to see and to realize and visualize God's meaning and purpose. I think if we could start off again on a different footing and a different understanding, a different realization, we would truly change the world beyond belief. We would see and we would know and we would understand and we would take unto ourselves not only the wisdom and the great truth of survival, but we would see how important it was not only that we as men and women should survive death, but all the creatures that share our lives, whether they be our little domestic pets, or even the simpler, sometimes often seems to man unnecessary forms of life. But of course our ignorance is such that we cannot perceive as we should with our earth, with the limitations of earth and the material faulty condition. We are so selfish and so foolish and so bound up in our own personal lives and our own personal aggrandizement, our own desires for self-advancement, that we cannot efface ourselves and see there is more wisdom in the simple creatures. Dumb though they be, they live nearer of times to God, the man himself, in their simplicity and humility, in their dumb acceptance of things, and us as their masters. They see more truth, a more conscious, more aware of the true realities of spirit than any of us. Of course, I think it is vital and important. that man should see spirit for what it is, not shape, not form, not substance, not power, not a glory that is to come, not something that is to be presented to you on a gold plate, and not when you arrive here to be told that you are one of the fortunate ones who happen to have been on the right side. No, we must remember and realize that the spirit is the same spirit that animates us all, which we all share, whether it is in human form and on earth, or whether it is in nature, in the beauty of nature, in the varying aspects of life which are all around and about, no matter how low the form of life may be, it is all part of the same spirit and indestructible. Man is resurrected truly, so also other so-called lesser creatures, created in God's love, that they too should share in his kingdom. And yours is a kingdom, you know, when on earth we look upon kingdoms as purely physical, material things. We think of this particular country, or that particular country, as if there was something vastly different between the two and the people who dwell therein. There may be differences, of course there are differences in custom, in background, in education or lack of it, in varying experiences according to the peculiar or particular situation in which the human being may find himself or the nation concerned. But underneath all of the near is the same spirit. Man may look different in the eyes of another, to another, of another race, and yet it's the same spirit animating him. You cannot keep spirit in the same shape nor form. It may take a shape or form upon itself in the particular environment in which it finds itself, as well on earth. You have your particular shape and form, and you develop and you grow physically, and people accept you, and they call you this by name. But fundamentally, the form, the shape, is peculiar though it may be to yourself. Isn't it insignificant? How often do we hear people say, oh, I wish I could have my life over again. I wish I could do differently. I wish I had been this or been that, or I could have achieved this or I could have achieved that. The world is full of disappointments and disillusionments. And as one gets older, one is ever conscious of the fact that one has missed, as it were, the bus. How often do we hear people say, oh, well, if I had taken this course or this path, this would have been so different, I should have been so much better off, I should have achieved this or I should have achieved that. Man is always thinking of what he might have been, of what he might have become. And so seldom, hardly ever do you hear men say, what shall I become when death takes place? Is always what I might have done in the past, or what I might do in the future, what I might achieve or might not achieve. How many lives are disillusioned and unhappy ones? Oft times through circumstances, it is true, beyond the individual's control. But how do you know that there may be, without your realizing it at all, when on earth, a purpose, a meaning, a rhythm in your life, which is necessary and essential, that you had to experience certain things, you had to make certain mistakes, you had to take certain powers which prove so extreme materially prove this pointless and useless. The world is full of complexities of man. Man has never yet discovered himself. You have your psychologists and your psychiatrists, and you have varying other souls and various walks of life who are striving to find out how man ticks, what makes him go wild, what makes him do this or do that. All the time man is analyzing himself, and if he can't find the basic truth of the reality, which is the key that unlocks all the doors, that is the key of immortality, the key of reality of spirit, the acknowledgement of spirit. And when you have that realization of what spirit is, and what it can do, and what it can achieve, and how your life, important though they must be and are, how in a sense they are, as it were, but episodes, and there is no end to the series of episodes. They go on and on and on. And it is because of the varying degrees of consciousness and awareness and awakening to new realities, the gradual process of change that takes place on the various spheres of the spirit that man can then begin to understand and realize the meaning of immortality, the realization that must come that there is such a thing as being able to go on, ever onwards to greater heights, to greater realizations of self. One love is but an episode of meaning. As you progress from sphere to sphere, there are changes that must take place in one's experience and knowledge that makes it possible for one to understand and accept the reality of life eternal. Man should not fear. If anything, he should rejoice at all the experiences, good, bad, and different though they may well be, that may be set his path. I know there is much in your world that causes distress. All around and about you, you see a world that is ever at war, not only between nations and peoples, but even in the very hearts of individuals, there is a fight that is constantly going on. The fight that is ever there and ever will perhaps be, for all we can say, while man is yet on earth. The fight between that which is of the spirit and that which is of the body. Man is a dual personality, of course, but above all, when man begins to appreciate that the controlling power of the spirit should take the uppermost part and control the material or physical side, when there is indeed even more balance in human beings, there will come changes which must benefit all mankind. But you are living in a world which constantly seems to become worse and worse, more material, more difficult, more indeed problematic in so many different ways, that the individual who can find his true self is very fortunate. And he has thought, man has thought in so many different ways. He has thought it in this particular religious group or faith and in the other. He has thought it in all sorts of ways. He found everything wanting. Yet all the time, within man is the power of the spirit dormant, latent within, waiting to be awakened, to be drawn out, so that it can control the individual and make possible the true path of spiritual awareness and progression. You have been most fortunate in what you have been given over the years. You have been given a strength that is denied to many, in spite of all the difficulties of life. Power of the Holy Spirit has surrounded you, enabled you to continue the battle of life with a sure and certain knowledge of eternal life to come. The realization that you have had has made it possible for you to overcome many of the problems and the difficulties for which you have suffered. And yet I can see into your world today, and I see only too well the ills, and I'm conscious of the need of the Spirit, the reality of the Spirit, that it may come with such power into the world of flesh, that it shall be enabled to save itself from destruction. We know your needs are many in the world. We see the dire necessity, the great necessity of the intervention of the power of Spirit before man in his foolishness, in his ignorance and stupidity destroys so much of God's world. And yet, how strange it should be, that often it is, as I've already said, in the simplest of souls is found the greatest strength. I have spoken to you about the lower kingdoms, so called. If only man had the insight, the vision, if only man could see, as oft times the lesser so called creatures see, how different he would think, how different he would act, and in consequence, how different he would become. For believe me, particularly in the animal kingdom, there is a wisdom that man has not yet perceived. For the animal kingdom is truly nearer to the reality of the Spirit than man, with all his wisdom, with all his books, with all his knowledge, with all his experience, so called. Because the animal, the Spirit, which is the same Spirit, though man cannot perceive this or understand it or accept it, is the same Spirit that animates man himself. Man thinks the Spirit is a shape and a form, telling the source. There may be, in a sense it is true to say that there are shapes and forms. When man dies, as the world tells it, he retains, or should I perhaps better say, he takes on a form or a shape which is in a sense similar to the one which was common to him on earth in all life and appearance. But it's the Spirit that is animating and creating and making possible the modulation, the revitalization, as it were. And the same with the animal. It's the same Spirit. You're all sharing it. It's not shape nor form. It's a living force. Indeed, it is the force of the whole life that animates all things and all varying degrees and conditions. It is still and must be and is the same living force of all life behind all things. That is why, quite often, angel seances, as you call them, not only do you receive with open arms your loved ones, but also those that you have loved in the so-called lower kingdom or order of things. Those that you've taken to your hearts, who have, as it were, become part of your family, and not only the domestic, but all the other creatures. There will be those who will say, yes, were there necessary some of these varying creatures and insects and what have you, are necessary, no doubt, and we have to have these upon earth for the purpose. True, but you see what man does not realize, that everything that is placed on earth is there for a purpose. He wouldn't be there otherwise. There is a purpose for the world in the garden. It's necessary to the garden. There are many, many aspects of life which man ignores, sometimes despise, but in that is still a living essence, a vital part of man's death. Why does a man himself on death go to the earth, and does he not with time itself become of the earth? Is he not, is it well, part of the earth, even though he is still living on the framework. No, man must see the team's step physically, materially, is on the earth, and the material aspects of earth are in every state vital and important. He must get, as it were, everything placed in the proper category. But he must also see that if, as he is, physical, material, with the earth, are the same components and conditions, so is his spirit the same, and the same speed that animates life. Everything that has life is animated. We call it, if you like, we refer to the spirit. In a sense, it's only a word, but really it is a force of the power. It is a living substance, a living vibration. It is a combination, really, of several things. And we use words to try and depict and describe it, but it's all the same animating force. If it were not so, there could be no life of any description. When you are in your world, you are on the same wavelength, vibration, call it what you will, with everything around and about you. And yet you know, science has told you often, and proved it, that nothing about you is solid at all. Nothing is real, it's strange. You look at yourself in the mirror, you see your reflection, and you touch yourself, and you are real. You're solid. The house in which you live is solid, built up of materials, you say. The science has proved there's no such thing as validity. In a sense, it's an hallucination. It's just fortunate enough that you are all vibrating in harmony, one with the other. But what is behind all this? What gives you a certain individuality, a certain character of your own? What gives you something that is different to the inanimate object, the wall, or whatever it may be? Surely it is this living power which is in all living things. You can ignore the shapes and the forms. You can ignore the temples and the churches and the houses. You can ignore many things which seem indestructible or certainly seem solid and real. And you must get down to the basic truth that all that has life, all that has animation, is animated by the power of the same spirit. And so I say to all those who dwell in darkness of mind in your world, you're all part of the living spirit. Those whom you know and love, those who have come here before you, who are preparing the way for you, waiting to welcome you and rejoice with you when the time comes to leave behind the material world and enter the realm of spirit, and all those that you have done, not only in shape and form as human, but all those lesser so-called, that become part of your lives. For you have in a sense helped them, but if man did but know it, quite often the so-called lesser ones have helped man more in their simplicity and in the beauty of themselves and the power of the spirit that flows through them. Foolish is the man who says unto himself, because I am man, I should inherit the spiritual kingdom and deny the same right to the lesser one, so-called. No, I say to all who listen to the voice of spirit, truly are we blessed that we are one spirit. How right was the Christ? How right were the great teachers and prophets of old? How wise they were in their simplicity, for truly it is that they were simple men, but in their simplicity, like the simplicity of the animal kingdom, they perceived the truths hidden from the wise. They knew of these things of which I speak. They knew that the path of illumination was only possible when one has discarded all the wise sayings and the wise books, so-called, that mislead oft times men from simple truths, simple truths of our very nature. Simple and easy to understand within oneself. But man wants to perceive in a different way. It must be put in this fashion or that, and become in consequence eventually almost obscure. Man's truth is not God's truth. The truth of which we speak, which was perceived and realized by the great ones of old. This is the truth, the everlasting truth, the great joy, the great comforter, the great reality, the basis of man's inheritance. This is the thing that will release man from the serfdom of the flesh and the foolishness of the flesh. Man has a power within himself, unknown. How strange it is that man, with all his earthly power, with all his pomp and ceremony, with all his knowledge and his science, cannot perceive that which oftentimes the lonely animal is fully aware of. Christ and the great prophet knew these truths. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew what he could do, what he could achieve, how he could overcome all the ills of the material world. Until you have bereft yourself of everything, you can perceive nothing. When I was on your side, I must have given thousands and thousands of sermons, here, there, and everywhere. If only I could have perceived the simplicity of truth. Was it not Solomon who said, "Go unto the end, thus done it. Perceive her ways, be wise." The simplicity of the smallest insect. In that simplicity is a great knowledge. This may sound to some almost blasphemous, but it is not meant to be. It is true to say there are many in high places with great knowledge, great experience, remarkable men, admirable men, many of them sincere men and honest men, and yet when it comes to spiritual truth and awareness of the will of the divine creator for his children, his purpose and meaning, they stand bereft and naked and ignorant. How strange it is that man, in his strength, is oftentimes so weak. Christ knew. Christ understood. Christ gave out love wherever he went. He perceived the power of the Holy Spirit within himself, and he knew what he could do, what he could achieve. He was not concerned with material things as such. He was only concerned that man should find himself. Seek, and he shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Truly, wisdom is within, because within one's innermost soul is the truth of the Spirit. It is a wisdom that has escaped man for centuries. Here and there, there have been those who perceived it and suffered mightily materially because of it. But it does not mean to say that if a man perceives spiritually and endeavors to live spiritually, and I do not mean this in the sense that some people accept it when I refer to the word spiritual, I do not mean the false show which is so often mistaken for spirituality. I mean the reality of the power of the spirit within one's spirit, and that one is part of a great spiritual world while yet on earth, breathing and living with spirit means truly that you have a consciousness and awareness of purpose, and that you can truly overcome material things, and that you shall not necessarily have materially, as the world calls it, a good time. In fact, the more spiritually conscious and aware you become, the more difficult it obviously must be and become in consequence to live in a material world, and yet you are given the strength to combat the evils and the forces of one and above that distress one even more because of one's spiritual awareness and weakness. Christ knew, all the prophets and teachers knew, that the material life is for a purpose, it's necessary, it's essential. There's only one little episode in immortality. There's only one little episode in the great cavalcade of spiritual progression. But it is a very important one, and a very necessary one. And until one can put oneself low, one cannot hope to reach the heights. So it behoves all God's children to be lower than the animals, to be one with them, and to know and to realize that in the simplicity is the truth, and the power, and the glory. I oftentimes think back to my life, and I know there will be many who remember me, and I know there will be many who have heard of me, who will consider me, as the world tells it, a good man. I respect them for it, and I'm grateful. But I see myself now not so much as a good man, a sincere man in my ways, but oftentimes a foolish one. And how often I wish that I could have known what I know now, and that I could have preached the true spiritual teachings as I now know them to be. How different I would have acted. I wouldn't have thought so much as I did of what I thought was important. You know, when one is in the church, one is sincere, otherwise one could not be in the church, not to advocate many things which one sincerely believes one must believe. I did believe, but I was ignorant nevertheless. I'm not denying the fundamental truth, but what I am saying is that if I have had this realization of what man truly is, and what the purpose of man's life must be when on earth, and how important it is to appreciate and realize the power of the spirit that is ever manifesting itself, not only through man, but in many diverse ways. Man can see himself in the light which I now know he should. There would be no friction, there would be no separation between men, whether it be by religion, by color, or whatever it may be that separates. I think that if man could perceive the simple truths of life, that life is truly eternal, there is no death, only that which seems so. It's only death because men themselves are blind to the reality of the spirit. When you see someone that you've known and loved lying still, cold, you know that something has gone from them. That which you have known and loved is still around. The physical body, the house, the shell, the covering, call it what you will, is not the person. It was necessary for a brief space of time on earth for it to be so. That was not the one
accomplish without
the spirit, the animating force, the personality, this power in there, the indestructible power, is around, oftentimes unseen by you, whispering words, unheard, but nevertheless, whispering words, comfort, and joy, giving to you strength. Oftentimes you may not know, not feel the touch that they give to you, but their love is ever strong, and in so-called death, the strength is greater, and the power is greater, and the love is greater, and they come, and they stand above you, and in that moment, that's when you least expect, their thoughts are with you, and they're trying to impress you with their love and thought. There is no such thing as death, only that which seems so. And to all who mourn I say, grieve not, for there is only cause to rejoice. For those whom you have loved and still love are ever with you unseen, unheard, and they are ever conscious of your needs. And they but wait a little time until you shall join them. Leave me, my friends, wherever you may be, whatever your heart may need or desire. If it is good for you, spiritually, it shall come. Do not ask for the things of the flesh, for they must pass away. Be thou therefore content to seek for the things without of God, the things that are eternal, the things that cannot rust nor fade away. But seek joy in spiritual truths, and it shall make you free and give you cause truly to rejoice. While the Spirit is ever with you, may that power ever be around and about you, may ever encourage you and give you strength to face each day, and know that if you give forth from within yourself all that love which you are capable of giving, it shall truly live not only those around and about you, but yourself. When the time comes for you to step out of that tired and worn body into the realms of spiritual truth and awareness, truly shall you be freed from all the tiring things that hold you down upon earth. Truly you shall see, truly thou shalt know, truly thou shalt be partakers of the kingdom.